Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep. Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still is on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters, and EMS. This is a Veterans to Veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information and loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I will have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. I want to welcome you to the Last Patrol radio show. Today we're going to have Reverend Kenneth Torres. Now, he's kind of a unique guy that's started a very unique project over on the east coast of Florida, and I'll let him tell you about that in a little bit, but I want to talk to you a little bit about his background. Now, he is a second-generation pastor. His father was a pastor, born in New York, high school in Puerto Rico. After high school, enlisted in the U.S. Army and specialized in weapons and combat and combat medicine. At the end of 1989, he transferred to the U.S. Air Force. He really got smart and decided to transfer over to the Air Force. Once again specializing in weapons and combat medic, after numerous deployments and operations in 2009, he left the military. While in the service, he, Pastor Torres, was licensed as an evangelist and ordained as a minister. He served under his father, Reverend Caleb Torres, and also he worked under I.W. Helburn, and father and son, and lastly, Reverend Dr. Quentin P. Wood. Pastor Ken has a Bachelor of Science in Microbiology, a Bachelor of Science in Emergency Medicine. He's a nationally registered paramedic and security specialist. He is a father of three beautiful young ladies, and in his spare time, He designs and installs sound and light systems in churches. He's the owner of United and Praise Sound and Video. Thanks, Ken, for being on the radio show with us.
No, thank you for having me.
This unique project that we're going to be talking about that he has is called Veterans Church. Just a little background. I first met Pastor Ken several years ago in Melbourne, Florida, at the Vietnam and All Veterans Reunion. And we struck up a conversation, and from then it just bloomed to a wonderful friendship. This year we were tapped to do the Sunday services. I knew that Reverend John Steer is known for his wonderful singing and his wonderful messages, and unfortunately his health did not permit him to be at the reunion this year. I was honored to be able to step in and do the service. But one thing that I had to say to everybody there, I don't sing very well.
I seem to recall something about frogs.
Thank God I have my brother, Pastor Ken, and his wonderful, beautiful wife, and they do sing, and they are wonderful. And we decided, well, we'll put this thing together. And he was able to bring another lady with him, and all three of them, plus the pastor, sang, will deliver the message and have some wonderful, wonderful praise and worship music. Pastor Ken, tell me something. How did you first decide, and what was the motivation to start a church for veterans?
Well, that's a good question, and there's no easy answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to make it as uncomplicated as I can. Being a vet myself, suffering with PTSD at one point in my life, being prescribed 45 different medications in order so I could cope with my daily life, and quitting cold turkey but still having the same problems that those medications were supposed to help me get rid of, I came to an understanding that a lot of our vets, a lot of our brothers and sisters, they don't come to church because to traditional church, that is, because they feel that they're being judged. They feel that they're being ostracized because of something that the traditional church membership does not understand. Case in point, PTSD, TBI. We tend to forget it as a community. Tend to forget that PTSD is not just for combat vets, it's not just for cops or EMS personnel. It's for everybody that's gone through a traumatic experience in their life. And unfortunately, that traumatic experience causes them to react a certain way, unfortunately negatively many times, to a specific situation or environment that they're in. Neglect that situation. When we neglect that knowledge, when we say, oh, well, something's wrong with Joe Blow or with Susan Blow, and we tend to ostracize them because we don't know how to deal with them. It comes back to mind when I remember, you know, they say that all kids today, nowadays, have ADD if they stand up or they do fidgeting. Well, back when I was in school, all the kids that would stand up and they were hyperactive, the teacher would just give them more work to keep them busy. And it's just a matter of finding a solution to the problem. Every day, 22 of our brothers and sisters, they take their own life into their own hands, and they're lost without any hope of salvation because they lost hope. Because nobody's there to tell them that, like I was saying last night at church, that no matter how bad it gets, we were singing a song last night that we were singing that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That because he lives, because he died, and he rose again, and he's coming back again, that we have a hope, and there is an answer. There are other options. And like I was telling some vets that were congregated with us last night, we were talking about that. A vet will talk to a vet. We feel more comfortable talking to each other. Like, I feel comfortable sharing my experiences with you, and not feeling like I'm going to be judged or look like I'm crazy because of what I said and did at one particular point in time, because you understand where I've been. You know where I've been. So we decided, you know, after lots of prayer and running for 32 years from this calling to the ministry, because for many years everybody said, oh, you're going to be a pastor. I said, no, I'm not, because being a pastor's son, I know what that involves. I know how hard it is. I know the heartbreak. I know the tears. And I said, no way. I'm not putting myself through that. I didn't put myself through that, but God decided that he would put the pieces in place and direct me to where he wanted me to go. Speaking with the commander of Post 4206 last year, we came upon this and said, you know, we should, and it came from him, and he's a non-believer, believe it or not. And he said, we should have a church here for veterans, because a lot of people need to hear, a lot of our brothers and sisters need to hear what you have to say. And I'm like, well, sure. And it just started off as a conversation. But then slowly but surely, it started taking shape and becoming something that what it is today, where it's a safe haven for vets, where they can come to church. And we keep our services down to kind of like when we did chapel in the field.
Mm-hmm.
No songs. We go into the Word. And it's not a judgmental word. It's a word that, you know, like I was saying last night, there is hope. No matter how bad it gets, there's hope. There's hope. And I'm not saying this to you because it sounds pretty, because I'm quoting scripture at you. No, I'm telling you because I'm the living embodiment of it. Because every time I wake up from a nightmare, every time my dog wakes me up from a nightmare, every time when I'm feeling low, the lowest of the low, God, through His grace and His Holy Spirit, picks me up and reminds me that I am somebody, and that no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, that He took all that away, and because of His blood shed on Calvary, I am washed, I am clean, and nothing of that matters. What, because of that knowledge, then I can go on and continue. So that's the same knowledge that we want to convey to others. Last week, we were able to share with the halfway house of vet over Merritt Island, and that was the message that we shared. And they were like, you know, well, I've been here for 6 months. I've been here a year. I don't want to be here anymore. I said, well, you know, you have to understand that for all of us, there's a fast. God puts us through a fast, all of us. And this is only temporary. And I actually quoted you. I've been quoting you a lot because I always tell them I have a friend, Pastor Ted, and I love his thing. And they were like, what did he say? I said, well, he has a great saying, and I constantly remind myself of it. And it's that it doesn't matter how bad it gets today or how bad it gets tomorrow, I know how the story ends, and we win. That's all that matters.
Amen.
So see, even your message is getting put out over here.
I appreciate that so much. And praise God. Praise God. Even all the experiences that we've both been through, military experiences and life experiences, making wrong choices, stumbling down, falling down. The Lord has lifted us both up. As you said, you're calling. You're resisted and resisted and resisted. How do you feel about it now?
I my wife laughs at me because I tell her every Sunday after we come back from service, I tell her, you know, I feel like I'm too small for what I'm supposed to be doing. And she says, and she tells me, oh, that's okay, but you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I remember when I finally gave into the call, it was last December. My father had an emergency cardiac triple bypass.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my father had just come out of surgery. I went downstairs to Starbucks, and I called a pastor friend of mine. I asked him for prayer for my father. And we started talking, and then this issue about Veterans Church came up. And he just stood quiet for a bit, and he said, "Well, Reverend Torres, I'm going to tell you exactly what Mordecai told Esther." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, Mordecai told Esther a whole bunch of stuff." But he said, "I'm not going to tell you one thing that he said, but one specific thing that applies to you." I'm like, "Okay, I don't see the correlation, but hey, bring it." And he said, "Who are you to say that God didn't prepare you for a time such as this?" We look at the news on a daily basis. We're listening to the news. Those of us that can stomach listening to them or looking at them, because it's crazy. And we see, like right now, with all the chaos that is prevailing in our nation. I'm not going to say I talk about the world, but I am going to talk about our nation specifically. Unfortunately, and it's unfortunate, two of the greatest, the biggest newsworthy events that have transpired in the past couple of days have been brothers of ours.
Yes.
At one point and another, they wore the uniform, and for whatever reason, either they got tired, they went bonkers, the devil played a trick on them, or what they did, what they did. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not just taking a gun or a knife or whatever, and our brother and sister becoming suicidal. It's to place ourselves between the devil and the past, and our brothers and our sisters, so they won't make bad decisions. They won't make bad choices. And I believe that the same power, the same grace, the same love, the same mercy that covered us, that covered you, that covered me, that covered others like, you know, Reverend Steer and countless others like us, and that keeps us, that we are functional. It's the same power that can do the same for our brothers and sisters. And now more than ever, yes, you asked me how do I feel about it, and I feel like, yes, I'm where God wants me to be at. I don't have a huge congregation. Like, I was telling a chief and his wife last night that they worship with us. I was telling him, you know, he goes like, well, where's everybody? I said, well, I don't know. Our people, our list of people that comes in every week changes, because it is like that. I don't measure the impact, our impact, or the impact that God has in the loves and the lives of those that we minister to or talk to on a daily basis by how many people we have in the pews, being of a Pentecostal background. A lot of Pentecostals judge the impact or the movement of God by how many pews are overturned, how much you shout on a given Sunday, or whatnot, or how much you run. And I got to the notion that I'm like, our impact, or the way we measure the movement of God in our lives or through our lives is not measured by that over at Veterans Church. At Veterans Church, it's measured by when the people come to us with a need. And they recognize it, and they're non-believers, and they'll come up to us and say, Rev, you know, or Mrs. Torres, you know, we want you to pray with us. This is going on. I have a sick family member, or I'm sick. Pray with us. Or they come and ask for our card, and they say, Rev, you know, can I have your business card? Because one day I'm going to have to call you and talk to you. A couple of weeks ago, I spent 4 hours with the Marine. Text him back and forth, mm-hmm. because he told me, I feel lonely. I feel alone. And I spent 4 hours texting, and I hate texting.
Yeah.
I cannot stand texting. I'm like, it's so much faster to talk. I mean, can we? But he was working. He's a tow truck driver. So, and we spent 4 hours texting back and forth. And a couple of days, a few days later, I checked up on him. I said, how are you feeling, Devin? And he goes, no, I'm great. Thanks for taking time. And that's how we measure our impact. When people come mm-hmm. to us, you know, and they hug us and they tell us, thank you for being here, or thank you for what you do. And these are non-believers. And I firmly believe that one day, those same people that come and hug us and that never set foot inside Veterans Church except to bring donations and whatnot, that one day, those people, I'm going to see them in glory, because at one day, at one point, they're going to have the same encounter we had with the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and it may be at their house. It may be when they're out driving, but at one point, I know they will have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and I know that what we did at Veterans Church, where we didn't judge them, where we were there with you, we cried with you, we laughed with you, we ate with you, we fellowshiped with you, we're one of you, or you're one of us, that at one point, not tonight, not tomorrow, maybe not even in a month, but at some point, it will bear fruit, that seed. And that's what we're all about. See, I tell people when people ask me, but, you know, your ministry is so different. I said, no, it's not. I'm like, if you think about it, we're doing exactly what Jesus did. It was go mm-hmm. to be with to those that were lost. And he spoke with them. He fellowshiped with them. He broke bread with them. That's all he did. Even though he was King of Kings, he was the creator of heaven and earth, even though he had that hierarchy, that rank, it did not belittle him in one bit to share with the little man. And because he shared with the little man, many of those common folk followed him. But the thing was that first, he fellowshiped with them. he shared with them. He didn't act like them. No, he didn't drink. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. But he was there with them. And because he was there with them, and because he didn't judge them, that in turn drew them to him. And they became souls of salvation. And that's, I tell a lot of people, a lot of ministers, I'm like, that's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus did. Oh, but it's so great where you're going. I'm like, what do you mean it's so great? It's been in the Bible for however long the Bible's been in existence. It's in the Bible, and it's not complicated. We just have to go, like the song, old song says, you know, win the loss at any cost. We just have to go out there and get them. That's it. Many times, unfortunately, traditional services, traditional church wants them to come to the church, and that's great. But for our group of people, for our people, for our brethren, and by this, by brethren, I mean our military brethren, we are a little bit different. We are a little bit twisted, but the great thing about us being twisted is that God writes, He straightens us up to a point where we're functional and we're getting along great, but there still is something about us that they can relate to, and hopefully by seeing our lives transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, His mercy, is grace. Maybe by that thing, because it's a, well, they'll say, well, he did it for Ken, but Ken is better. Let me try this too. I've tried everything. I've tried drugs. I've tried alcohol. I've tried the medication that the VA gives me. But they never presented the gospel to me this way. But this is something I can relate to. Because he's been there. He's done that. And he's not taking pills. He's not drinking himself into oblivion. He's not taking pills to go to sleep or whatnot or function. No, he's a quasi-normal human being. And for one that have those bad days, when the past comes to visit, God's grace is there. And just like the song says, his grace is perfect.
Absolutely.
When our strength is gone. And he'll carry us when we can't carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just, as a collective group of vets, we can put that message out there, that because he did it for us, we're not special. We're no better than they are. He can do it for them, and we're here as a living embodiment of what we're talking about. You know, like all these infomercials about, you know, get ripped by taking this combination of pills and what, and you'll get ripped without having to do any exercise and whatnot. I'm the living embodiment. I'm the living testimony. That if you take this pill that's called God's grace and you let it work in your system, you won't have to hurt no more. And little by little, your life will get better.
Great words. Great words. I can't not agree more. You know, one thing that all of us ex-military respect, and that is leadership. And that is strong leadership. The first thing that we learn, of course, in basic, is that we have to respect our leaders. We have to respect that their experience. We have to expect that when the orders come down, we need to follow them. We understand as veterans, we understand the Bible. As pastors, we understand there's our operations planning manual is right there, the OPM. We follow that because the one that wrote that is our supreme leader. He's the one that created everything. Doesn't get any more stars on your ranking than that, because all the stars in the sky are his.
Exactly.
it's so hard for our brothers out there that are hurting, and to be able to relinquish that idea that they need to give it up. They need to sit, take a deep breath, and understand that God loves them, that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and there's a new way they can walk. There's a new way that they can live.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Pastor Ted, and this, I suffered it myself. This is not something I'm not talking just because, but I suffered it myself. Born and raised in the church, I know what it's like to be shunned because you're weird, because of stuff that people don't understand. And unfortunately, a lot of our brothers and sisters, you know, have that experience. It's a very unsavory experience, but unfortunately have it, and we can't deny it. But we also can't, now speaking about us as Christian vets, we also can't browbeat the church and traditional church, oh, you put my brother and my sister outside, you cast them outside because you treated them this way or that way. I'm like, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. And but we that know, and we that have had God's grace wash over us and constantly every day working us to do something in us. Well, then, you know, it's our turn. Now, I told a couple of months ago a group of vets in my old church, I said, you guys have a problem. I said, you guys want to shout and holler and whoop and holler, that's great. All within these walls, the confines of these four walls. And I said, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us to go out into the world. Jesus himself tells us to go out into the world and preach this gospel to everybody. Whoever believes it shall be saved. And he that doesn't believe it, well, they'll be lost. But I'm telling you, it doesn't. And then I'm like, well, you've lived so many experiences. Why not share that with our fellow vets? Why not share that with our brethren? Why not share that with them? Why are we content with just coming to the church? We don't associate with any of the organizations, be it BFW, American Veterans, or whatever, Legion Riders. And we don't associate with them because, oh, well, they're non-Christians and there's drinking and there's smoking there. And so, and that's okay. You don't have to drink and smoke to be part of an organization. You just have to show them that you're different. Even though you went through the same experience, you're different. That there's something about you to be different. And nobody's going to know about how different you are, what caused you to be different, unless you share it. So I'm like, how, that's kind of like us. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have to take a hill and we want to take it just by support from the Air Force or from artillery, and we don't want to go in and fight, you have to go in and take it. It's just like Caleb told Joshua when he was 80 years old. He said, give me the land that is mine. That mountain is mine, and nobody's going to take that mountain is mine. And we have to assume that thing. We have to get into our heads, into our military heads, that the same stubbornness, the same determination that we displayed and we had when we were active duty, reserve, guard, or whatever, when we were with our brothers and sisters, that's the same determination that we have to display now in the final days before our final trump sounds or we leave this earth, that before we leave, we take as many as we can, wrest as many as we can from the devil's claws, because they're not his. They're God's creation. They're God's children. So it's up to us to bring them back to the fold. And we have to go out there and wrestle with them. We can't give them up. We didn't give them up on the battlefield. We ran into harm's way for a buddy.
Yes, indeed.
Why can't we do it now? Run into harm's way for a soul.
Pastor Ken, we're getting short on time, but I do want to please invite you back. Your message is so important. And, folks, you can reach Veterans Church by going to veteranschurch@gmail.com. Also, Veterans Church is at the VFW Post 4206. That's 3201 Derry Road in Melbourne, Florida, 32904. Thank
We're
you.
Also on Facebook.
Also on Facebook, and give us your Facebook address.
Yes. We're on Facebook. Veterans Church will pop up.
Okay. Hey, we need to do this again, and I'm getting ready to take a trip up to Arkansas, which I told you about, and I think you're going to be interested in when we come back. I'll have a lot to tell you about that. Thank you so much, Pastor Ken, if you can hold on for a second, and we'll close down in just 1 second. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for being here with me. Hi again, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. AVRM, American Veterans Radio Ministries, is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. MyGHCF.com or reach us on facebook.com/myghcf. Thank you again for listening to The Last Patrol.
Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush. He played for keeps. The enemy was all around. Didn't Charlie ever sleep? Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back. He was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, 'cause we still feel the pain of 1,000 wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. One of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still is on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol. Call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him, touch his name,